The book of Luke, Luke chapter number one, as we start a new series on fear not. Luke chapter number one. There are four fear nots in the Christmas story. We're going to look at each one on these Sunday mornings and kind of, I guess, in a way, kind of still continue on with the vibe that we had earlier with having a sound mind. Luke chapter number one, verse five. Once we're there, let's stand. Luke chapter number one, verse number five. Through verse number 20, as we look at the angel's message to Zacharias. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 5. It says there, "There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him," let's say the two words together, ready? "Fear not," I'll continue, "Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias," or Elijah, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." The angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we jump in. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would work in a mighty way through your word as it's presented this morning. Strengthen and help us, encourage us, challenge us, Lord, in the fears of this life. Lord, challenge us through this series, Lord, to take confidence, to have faith, Lord, in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our uncertainty, to trust you, Lord, to work it out. Lord, I pray for those that have been praying for things for numerous years, like Zacharias and Elizabeth in this passage. I pray that this message would be an encouragement and a challenge to them to hold out, to keep trusting, Lord, and to believe that you can accomplish the thing where they have requested. Lord, work in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Today, we're going to look at not having fear in life's postponements. In each one of these fear not passages, there's a clear focus. Here, the focus is upon Elizabeth and Zacharias' desire for a son and God's choice to postpone that desire. As we read through it, you saw very clearly that they had waited for a numerous amount of years, for a long time, and God had not blessed them with a son. And perhaps you have something that you prayed for a number of years, and God has not worked in that situation yet. You prayed for years for God to work in your family member. You prayed for years for God to get a hold of your son or daughter. You prayed for years for God to make a difference in this country. What be it? I don't know. But you prayed for years and it seems that God hasn't answered. Three things I want to encourage you with today. Number one, God sees you. Number two, God hears you. And number two, God can and will correct you. First, let's look at God seeing us. Look, you see in this passage in verse number 6, God's perspective, God knowing and understanding the situation of Zacharias. Look at it, verse 6. And they were both righteous before who? God. Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, what? Blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. First off, God sees our devotion. God sees how dedicated you are. I've talked to people before. And they say, well, Pastor, I prayed for this for numerous years. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And Pastor, I'm doing everything I can. Why doesn't God answer? Can I tell you, friends, it's not always because you're not praying right. It's just sometimes because God's timing isn't right. Here in the case of Elizabeth and Zacharias, their walk with God was very clear. In verse number 6, it says that they were both righteous before God. They had a right walk with God. They did what was right. That's what that word means. Righteous. They did what was right. In the sight of God, they had the right conscience. They were the right kind of couple. They did what was right, but yet God hadn't answered. Number two, their walk in the world was right. In verse number 6, it continues and says, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Blameless has the idea of nothing sticking to you. I'll give an illustration. The other day, some people came over to the house. And when they came over to the house, we let Jetta out, our dog. And that's, by the way, not something we do a lot because our dog is insane. But we let our dog out of the kennel. And as that was happening, she was jumping around and she was doing all her crazy, ridiculous things and doing all those things. And I got down on the floor and I started petting Jetta. Guess what happened very quickly to my clothes? They were covered in fur. I looked like I had rolled around under my kid's bed or something. They were covered in fur. And I was covered in it. Literally, that later on that night, I was working on some things. And later on that night, I'm like, oh my goodness. I kind of felt itchy because the dog was there. Why? Because these things stuck to me. The idea of blameless is that nothing sticks. It doesn't hold on to you. The idea here is that Zacharias and Elizabeth had lived in such a way, both toward God and toward other people, that nothing would stick. If someone said something about Elizabeth or Zacharias, people would be like, no, there's no way that they would do that. There's no way that they would act that way. There's no way that they would do that thing. Number one, God sees our devotion. Number two, God sees our difficulties. Verse number 7, it shows that God sees our hurts. It says there, verse 7, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. Later on, if you jump down to verse number 36 of the same chapter, not only was she barren, she was called barren. The angel speaking to Mary says this, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. The idea is that wherever Elizabeth went, even though she's walking with God, even though she's doing what's right, no matter where she goes, everyone calls her barren. Fruitless. The one that couldn't have a child. Can you imagine the hurt that she would experience, the desire that she wanted to have this child, and yet it hadn't happened? We've had people in our church that have gone through the very similar issue, that have struggled with fertility and things along that line, and have struggled with it and prayed about it and been burdened about it, and it hurts. I've talked before and said one thing that happens sometimes. Somebody that had struggled with that came to me and they said, well, people keep asking, when are you going to have a kid? And, you know, we would love to, but we can't. And it hurts. It hurts. That's what happened with Zacharias and Elizabeth. And no doubt they had prayed about it. As we see later on, that the angel immediately says, your prayer's heard and you're going to have a son. No doubt they had prayed about it and they had sought God about it and they desired it. But it hadn't happened. Can I encourage you, friend? God knows your hurts. God sees what you're going through. God sees your burden. God sees your difficulty. God sees your struggles. God knows your hurts, friend. Is that not true? God knows what you're facing. He knows our hurts. Number two, He knows our hopelessness. Verse number 7, it says, they both now were well stricken in years. It's an interesting expression. I mentioned it in my Sunday school class downstairs. That expression comes from the Hebrew. The phrase literally means that years had beat them up. By the way, have you not found that to be true in your life? The years beat you up sometimes? Amen? I was talking to Brother Ed, right? Ed, I was talking to him, and he had the cast on, and I said, Brother, what happened to you? And he said, I got old. And really, that's the truth, right? Years beat us up, and that's what happened. At this point, it's well past them having any kids. So this desire that they had for years, this desire that they wanted is gone. God knows our hurts, friend. Number two, God knows our hopelessness. He knows when we don't have any hope left. Number one, God sees our devotion. God sees our difficulties. Number three, God sees our direction. In verses 8 and 9, you see kind of the routines that God is going to use, that God sees through to accomplish His purpose. Look at it, verse 8. And it came to pass. By the way, that phrase, it came to pass, just means it just happened. It just happened on this day. It came to pass, verse 8, continue, that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Three times here, there's this idea that, oh, it just so happens to be. It was a routine type thing. It seemed routine. In the order of his course, it came to pass. It's just a routine thing. It seems kind of random. In verse number 9, it says that his lot was to burn incense. The idea is that what they would do is, since there were a lot of priests at this time, hundreds, thousands of priests, they would go and they would kind of cast lots, in a sense, almost roll dice, to see whose job it was to burn the incense there in the temple. This was a very important job. It was a very significant job, a very prestigious job, if you will. And this day, it just happens to fall on Zacharias. You see, sometimes the things that seem random, the things that seem routine, are the things that God will use. Number one, can I tell you, friend, if you've gone through your life and you feel like God doesn't know, God doesn't see, God doesn't care, I prayed and prayed and prayed, but God keeps postponing it. Number one, God sees what you're going through. Y'all with me, friends? Can we say that together? Number one, God what? Sees. God sees. Number two, God sees what we're going through. Very good. Number two, God hears. God hears. Continue on. Look at verse number 9 if we can. Verse 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now notice the emphasis in this. Verse number 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. Fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Notice number one, the focus of prayer on this passage. First off, can I say that incense is often a picture of prayer. That you have in your handout, Psalm 141 and verse number 2. It says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. The idea of incense burning there in the temple, it would be a sweet smelling scent that would burn there in the temple. And it's a picture of incense. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 8 says this, talking about this thing that they would burn the incense in. Golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So here he is, if you will, Zacharias is going into the temple, into the holy place, the place that probably he hadn't been that many times. And he's going and he's burning the incense there, praying for the nation. Number one, there's pictured prayer. Number two, there's pooled prayer. Verse number 10, it says that the whole multitude were praying outside at the time of incense. So you have here, Zacharias is going in and he's going and he's praying and he's burning the incense. You have a bunch of people outside that are all praying for the nation and for all these different things. But notice the emphasis of the angel. The emphasis of the angel isn't upon all the other people. The emphasis of the angel isn't upon the incense. The emphasis of the angel Gabriel in this passage is very clearly on Zacharias. Look at it. Verse number 13. It's a personal prayer. Verse number 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Now, one of the reasons why I like the King James, some people ask me sometimes, why do you like the King James? One of the reasons is because you can see the difference between you singular and you plural. Now, we can do that in the South because of y'all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right? But, you know, until they make a y'all Bible, right? We settle with thy, thee versus ye, you. Thy is talking about one person. It's singular. So when the angel Gabriel goes to Zacharias and says, thy prayer is heard, he's not talking about everyone else's prayer. Y'all's prayer is heard. He's not talking about the corporate incense prayer. He's talking specifically about one person's prayer. And that is whose? Zacharias's. Now fast forward to verse number 18. Because there's something very significant here that you don't want to miss. Look at verse number 18. So, the angel Gabriel says, hey, you're going to have a son, Zacharias. Your prayer's heard. What does Zacharias respond with? Verse 18. Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife well stricken in years. Now, I'm going to talk more about this later, and I don't want to spoil what I'm going for, but can I say in summary, Zacharias, I believe, firmly was praying for that son, even though he really didn't believe that he could have that son. You ever been there before? Were you praying for something that deep down you kind of struggle believing that it can even happen? You been there? Right? You're praying and you're like, Lord, please work in this. But man, I don't even know if you could work in this, but please work in this. Can I just say it's a great thing that we have a God that understands our frailties, isn't it? You with me, folks? Isn't it an amazing thing that we can go to the Lord with our burdens, and even though sometimes we have doubts and we have fears and we have concerns and we don't really believe at all, and we believe but we only have that grain of mustard seed belief, you know what I'm saying? And we believe but we don't really, really believe, and yet God still answers and God still hears. You with me, folks? Isn't that great? Praise the Lord for the God that we have. Number one, the focus on prayer. Number two, the fulfillment of the prayer. The angel Gabriel goes and gives some details that, frankly, were probably way beyond what Zacharias or Elizabeth could have ever possibly prayed for. And in this passage, here's what it talks about. Number one, it gives God's gracious plan. Look at it, verse number 13. It says, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. The name John means Jehovah is gracious. The idea is that every time they looked at little John as he was growing up, they would be reminded that God is a gracious God, that God fulfills His promises, that God gives abundantly and graciously above what we could ever deserve. By the way, is that not true in your life? That God is a gracious God. Praise the Lord that God's a gracious God. Amen. Because if God wasn't a gracious God, we would have nothing. You all with me, folks? God is a gracious God. And so God was here, Gabriel, by God, is telling Zacharias, hey, Zacharias, you're going to name him something, and that name is going to speak to you because you need to be reminded that God is a gracious God. Number one, God's gracious plan. Number two,
God's glad plan. Verse number 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. The idea here, I love this idea. We were talking a little bit in my Sunday school class downstairs and kind of got off tangent, which is something that we do in our Sunday school class downstairs. And we were talking a little bit about Abraham and Sarah, and when Abraham and Sarah had their son, and how Isaac literally means laughter. And the idea is one that Sarah laughed when God gave the promise, not trusting, but that also Isaac would bring joy into that household where before there wasn't. Can I tell you, friends, there's joy there. And by the way, can I just say, there was a lot of hurt in Elizabeth and Zacharias' life, right? A lot of need, a lot of mourning, a lot of prayer, a lot of seeking God. But can I say, when God works, then all that stuff is done away. You with me, folks? When God steps in, then there's joy where there wasn't before. You all with me, friends? Is that not true in your life? Have you not seen that? You go and you pray and you pray and you pray and nothing happens. And you're like, okay, God, are you even working? God, are you even listening? God, are you even seeing? God, are you even paying attention to me? But God has a plan, and that plan will bring joy, gladness, and rejoicing. By the way, that wasn't just joy and gladness in Elizabeth and Zacharias' life. That's joy and gladness in what? Others' lives. Is that not what it says in verse 14? Many shall rejoice at his birth. Number one, God's gracious plan. Number two, God's glad plan. Number three, God's great plan. Verse number 15. I imagine as this angel's going through all these things, I don't know if angels show a lot of expression, but I imagine this angel's like, hey, and it gets even better. It gets even better. Look at verse 15. Here's what it says. Verse 15. Then he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. The idea here, and I don't want to overstate it, but the idea here is that this little John would be a Nazarite from his mother's womb. Now, we talked about those before. On Wednesday nights, we were talking about Samson for a while. You remember Samson? And Samson, when Samson was born, God came to Samson's mom and dad and said, okay, you can't drink wine or anything like that, no strong drink, nothing like that. Because he will be a Nazarite set apart to God with the Holy Spirit from his birth. And that's exactly what happens. God's great plan. That this little baby would be great in the sight of the Lord. That God had a special, unique purpose for this little baby. Can you imagine, if you will? Imagine. You're going and you're well up in age. You've been praying for a son or a child for numerous years, and God comes to you and God says, okay, you're going to have a child, but not only are you going to have a child, that child's going to bring joy, but not only joy to you, but joy to the community as well. But not only that, he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord, and he's going to be special, a group that's very set apart, a group that's very unique in the sight of the Lord, a group that's very, very distinct, that had very distinct privileges and benefits. He's going to be a Nazarite set apart to God, going to serve the Lord from his birth. Number four, not only was it a gracious plan, a glad plan, a great plan, but number four was a gospel plan. And by the way, praise the Lord for that. Verse number 16, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Verse 17, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of life. By the way, who's the him that John's going before? You all say it with me. Jesus. He's going before Jesus. Continue on, verse 17. With the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts and the fathers to the children, the disobedient of wisdom to the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Here's what the angel's saying. Hey, Zacharias, here's the best part. This guy is going to be the one that paves the way, that prepares the path for the Messiah. This is great news. Can you all with me, folks? This is fantastic news. If you heard this about any one of your children, but from an angel, by the way, you'd be like, oh my goodness. This is fantastic. And I really, truly wish that the story ended here, but it doesn't. Look at verse 18. Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife, well, stricken in years. Number one, God sees, fear not. And life's postponements, don't fear. God sees. God sees your labor. God sees your effort. God sees what you're doing. God sees your hurts and your burdens and your difficulty. God knows. You all with me, friends? God sees. Number two, God hears. God hears your prayers. He hears every one of your prayers. By the way, can I just say, God hears every one of your prayers. You all with me, folks? We don't have to keep repeating them, although there's certainly an aspect where God likes for us to go and to continue to share. But there's not this sense where we got to keep reminding God about it. God knows and God hears. But number three, God corrects. God corrects. Here, Zacharias has just heard all this great news. And you think Zacharias would be like, man, this is amazing, but how am I going to raise this son to be this way? Would you not? Oh, this is amazing, but I mean, what are the details? What's the ramifications? Wait, the Messiah is coming? This is amazing, but how do I do this right? But that's not what he thinks about. What's he focused on still, friends? He's focused on all the time that God postponed what he thought he should have had. Is he not? He's focused on all the time that he had prayed and he had sought God and he had begged for a son or a daughter. And Elizabeth had begged God and besought God. And man, every time that Elizabeth mourned what people called her barren and every time that she struggled with the hurt, he is focused on that. Is he not? Can I say, friends? Praise the Lord, God sees us in our hurts. Praise the Lord, God hears us, but sometimes God needs to correct us. Two areas in which I believe Zacharias had a problem from this passage, very clearly. Number one, he had a focus problem. Look at verse number 18. We're going to cross-reference verse 18 and 19 to see the response, because they are very parallel. Look at verse number 18. It says there, and Zacharias said, and the angel, whereby shall I know this? Why? Look at it. For I am an old man, and my wife stricken in years. Number one, he had a focus on himself over God. Can I say, is that not true in our lives sometimes? Yes. We go and we pray and we beseech God and we beg God to work on our behalf and to work in some situation. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and God didn't answer. And yes, we prayed. But what was our focus the entire time? Us, not God. Now, I like verse 18. He says, I am old. In verse number 19, Gabriel says what? I am Gabriel. I was joking around with my Sunday school class downstairs. I believe this is one of the original passages that a dad joke shows up. Right? You've heard the dad joke. I'm sick. Oh, hi. I'm sick. I'm dad. Right? By the way, this is a dumb joke, okay? But just laugh for me, okay? I thought it was funny. I saw it last night. I was laughing in my office. I was like, this is hilarious. And everyone, now you're not laughing and it makes me sad. I thought it was really funny. Zechariah says, I'm old. Gabriel says, oh yeah? Well, I'm Gabriel. I'm from the presence of God. And I came to give this to you. Who cares if you're old, Zacharias? I'm the angel of the Lord. You all with me, friends? And we look at our lives sometimes and we think, well, God can't work in this because I'm not strong enough and I don't have the abilities and I don't have the talents and God can't work in this because he hasn't yet. No, friend, he's God. He's God. Stop focusing on you and start focusing on him. Think about this. Here, Zacharias is in the presence of God in the holy place, burning incense, and an angel showed up. You with me, folks? An angel shows up and tells him all this stuff, right? And what does Zacharias say? I'm too old. Have you not seen in your life that you can do the same thing? God can't use me. I'm too old. God can't use me. I'm too shy. God can't use me. I'm too poor. God can't use me. Preacher, I'm not a good speaker. God can't use me. I don't have the talents that other people have. God can't use me. I. Now, I'm reminded of Moses. You remember? God calls Moses. God says, Moses, you're going to deliver the Israelites to the promised land. You're going to deliver them from Egypt. What's Moses' response?
I can't talk. I stutter. Well, they're not going to listen to me. What does God say? Hey, who made man's mouth? Did not I, the Lord? Let's stop getting so focused on ourselves and let's start getting focused on God. Y'all with me, friends? Let's stop getting focused on our limitations and start looking to the Lord. Y'all with me? Let's stop focusing on the difficulties and the burdens of the past and start looking to the Lord that can and does work miracles. Y'all with me, friends? Let's look to Him. Number one, He had a focus problem. It was us over God. Number two, He had a signs problem. It was signs over Scripture. Look at verse number 18. He says, whereby shall I know this? What's He saying? He's saying, hey, give me a miracle. Give me a sign. Give me some way to know it for sure. Because I don't think it's true. I have some doubts, Lord. What's the sign? Gabriel says, verse number 19, the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee to show thee these glad tidings. What's he saying? He's saying, hey, Zacharias, you shouldn't be so focused on the signs. You shouldn't be so focused on the externals because I was sent to share you the word. By the way, can I just say, friends, I'm all for God working in amazing ways. But we need to be more focused on God working in my heart in amazing ways through this word than God focusing and working in amazing ways through the signs. He's focused on signs over Scripture. Perhaps you've gone and you say, okay, God, I'll serve you. God, I'll do what you want me to do. If you make all these things fall into place, then I'll serve you. Can I tell you, friends, you got it all wrong. You serve God and then God makes things fall into place. You trust God and then God makes things work out. You trust God and you step out by faith and then God works. Number one, us over God. Number two, signs over Scripture. Number three, problems over promises. Verse number 18, he goes and says, I'm old. My wife is well stricken in years. By the way, husband of the year club right there, right? My wife has been beaten up by the year. Praise the Lord for that. Men, don't say that. Okay? Just a little bit of husbandly advice. Don't say that. Verse 19, what's he saying? I'm Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. And I'm sent to speak unto thee to show thee these glad tidings. Problems over the promises of God. Here's what Gabriel's saying. Gabriel's saying, hey, I just gave you a bunch of good news and you are focused on all the bad news. Y'all with me, friends? Did he not? Hey, you're going to have a son. That's what you requested. But I'm going to go above and beyond that. You're not just going to have a son. Your son's going to be special. He's going to be different. He's going to give you joy. By the way, a lot of people have kids and they don't bring them joy. You all with me, folks? But this son's going to bring you joy. And not only that, but he's going to be great in the sight of God. And not only that, he's going to be a Nazarite. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his womb. Not only that, he's going to prepare the way for the Lord. Hey, this is good news. Why are you so focused on the bad stuff? Focus on the good. By the way, can I just take a time out and say, we get entirely too focused on the bad in our lives, do we not? Y'all with me, friends? We get entirely too focused on the bad. We need to look to the good. Get a focus problem. Number two, he had a faith problem. Verse number 18, how shall I know this? Verse number 20, Gabriel puts his finger on it. Behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed. Because why? Why? Look at it, verse 20. Why? Because thou what? Believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their seasons. He says, number one, hey, you have a focus problem. Because you're focused on all this stuff, and that's not the right thing to focus on. But number two, he had a faith problem. Can I just say, friends, we should trust even despite our doubts sometimes. You all with me? Matthew 9:24, you have it in your hand. I love this verse. I love this verse. Jesus is going and he's healing people and he comes along to this man and this man has his daughter who's sick, about to die. And he goes and, you know, he's trying to get Jesus to come and he's getting more and more delays and more doubts. And Jesus tells him, hey, all things are possible if you believe. Here's what he says, Matthew 9:24. Look at it. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. What's he saying? He's saying, Lord, I believe, but there's parts of me that don't. Help those parts.
God, I'm going to trust you. Even though I have doubts, even though I've been through it, even though there's roadblocks that cause me to not maybe believe fully, but I'm still going to trust you. Can I just say that's the Christmas story, isn't it? Mary goes and says, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? And Joseph goes and says, how can Mary have a son? The shepherds go and they're shocked and surprised that Messiah would be born in a manger. All of these had to trust despite some doubt. You all with me, friends? And by the way, if you trust, if you're really going to trust God, there will be some doubts in your mind. I remember when I first came here years ago, I was filling in pulpit and things, and I was coming along and just kind of filling pulpit, not really planning on leaving the church that we were at. And I went, and the Lord was kind of starting to work in my heart. Well, maybe this is where God wants me to be. And I was like, Lord, this is not the place where God wants me to be. There were like 20 people then. Church had no money, right? Like a few of you, but that was it, right? And I was like, Lord, please no. And I went and I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring Becky along, and Becky will say, this is the most insane thing you've ever thought of, you know, and get run away from this church. So I bring Becky over to the church. And so I said, Beck, come on, you're going to go to Pleasant Plains with me. Okay, great. So we come along, and then I get in the car, and I'm like, okay, babe, what do you think? And I'm thinking, she's like, no way can we possibly take this place. This place is falling apart. The roof is leaking. You remember that, the roof leaking? We used to use flex steel in the roof to fix the roof. You remember that? That was fun. Daniel one time told me, yeah, we're fixing the roof with flex steel. I was like, what? I mean, I know he cut the boat in half, but give me a break. So all this stuff, and I'm like, no way. There's no possible way. So I sit in the car, and I'm like, Beck, okay, what do you think? What do you think? And she's like, I like it. I think we should go. And I said, who are you? What on earth are you thinking? Can I say there were doubts? I remember I accepted, but I didn't know what they would pay me. We hadn't really talked about it, and this is hilarious. And so they were, you know, church didn't have money at the time, and Daniel came to me and he said, well, I think we can do 600. And I'm thinking 600 a month, because that's what I was paid before at my church. Not 600 a month, but paid monthly. So I'm thinking 600 a month. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I can swing that. And literally, like, we didn't talk about it, right? You guys remember? And we didn't talk about it. So he's like, okay, I think we can do 600. And I'm like, okay, I can maybe make 600 work. And I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do? Well, I have my rental house, and maybe I can go and do another job. And I'm all doubting and thinking, this is 600 a month is like $3,000 a year. Okay. And there were doubts, friends. There were doubts. Thankfully, it wasn't 600 a month. It was 600 a week. That was a lot better. But can I say, friends, if you're ever going to do anything for God, there are going to be doubts. You all with me? If you think that you'll serve God when all the doubts are gone, guess what? You'll never serve God. You all with me? You will never. You will never make a difference for the Lord, because there will always be doubts. What does the devil cast at us? Doubts. Does he not? The fiery darts of the wicked. Doubts. 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 Always doubts. And if you wait thinking, okay, well, I'll trust God once all the doubts are gone, you will never, never serve God. You will never trust God. You will never move forward in your life, because you'll always have those doubts. What do you have to do? You have to say, God, I trust you, and I don't understand it all, and I don't get it all, and it doesn't make sense, and I have questions, and I have concerns, and I have burdens, and I have issues, and I don't know how it's going to work, but God, I trust you. And guess what God does? God takes care of you. You all with me, friends? Then God takes care of you, and God meets your needs. You trust despite the doubt. You don't trust because there's no doubt. What did God say? Hey, faith just like a little grain of mustard seed. You can go to this mountain, say, mountain, be cast into the sea, and it'll happen. Trust despite the doubt. Number two, and I need to close. Number two, trust despite the delay. Friends, I am not in any way diminishing that the postponements in our life are difficult. I'm not. I know that there are people that have had the same prayer requests on the prayer sheet for pretty much the entire time I've pastored here. I know it.
There are people that have prayed for children. There are people that have prayed for spouses. There are people that have prayed for needs that they have been praying for years. You all with me, friends? Is that not true for some of us? You've been praying and you've been praying and you've been praying and you've been praying. Maybe I know about it. Maybe I don't. Doesn't matter. You've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And if you're not careful, you'll get in your heart, well, does God really care? Because I prayed about this, and if God really cared, He would have already taken care of it. Why would God wait so long? Can I say to you with all of the passion and care I can, fear not. Trust God. Don't be afraid. Trust Him. God's working. May not be in the way you think. May not be in the way you prefer. May not be in the way you know. Can I tell you, friends, if it was the way Zacharias and Elizabeth would have preferred, they would have had John at an early age when they wanted to, when they thought it was best. But that wasn't what God knew was best. You know what, me folks? Sometimes it's not what's best in our mind. Trust Him. Trust Him. Fear not. Only believe. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Here's my challenge for you. Here's my encouragement for you, friend. If you've gone through a time, a period of postponement, God hasn't worked in the way that you thought He would. He hasn't fit into the box that you figured He would fit into. He hasn't checked all the boxes off that you think you should check off. My encouragement to you is don't fear. God sees you. He knows your service. He knows your faithfulness. And He's taking count of it. He's aware. He knows your burdens and your heartaches and your difficulties and your struggles. He knows. Don't fear. He's heard. He hears your requests. He hears what you've asked, what you've petitioned, what you've cried out to the Lord for. He knows. He's heard it. It's not like His ears are blocked that He can't hear. It's not like He's too busy for you. He's not. He knows. Seek Him. Trust Him. Depend on Him. Say, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I don't get it. Lord, I trust You. And I know that You're working. And I know that You care. And I know that You're going to help me. God, I trust You. You say, Pastor, this message was for me today. There's something in my life that I've been fearful about. I haven't been trusting like I should. God needed to correct some things in my life. I had the wrong focus. I had a faith problem. God needed to correct some things in my life. Maybe you just say, you know, I've been praying for a long time and I've just been discouraged about that. Pastor, this was for me. Pastor, I want you to pray that I can get rid of the fear and start trusting God through this. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony of the Lord? This was for me. Thank you. A lot of us. A lot of us. A lot of us. Friends, God's working. God's working. Trust Him. Trust Him. Let's stand. Let's go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, You've seen the hands. You know the hearts. You know what's going on in each circumstance, in each situation. As I've mentioned, Lord, You see their burdens. You hear their calls. Lord, You care. Lord, I pray that You would help us to correct some of the potential issues that we could have in our lives. Help us to be honest with You. Lord, if we've been focusing on the wrong thing, help us to get it back to You. You are God. You are the one we are calling out to. Help us not to cast our faith upon ourselves, but upon You, the one that cares for us. Lord, help us to rely on You. Help us to trust in You. Help us to move past the unbelief and start serving You like You've called us to. Lord, strengthen us. Lord, I have no idea how Your Spirit has worked through this message, but I know it has. And I pray that You would help us to change and be the kind of people that You've called us to be because of it. Strengthen us in these things, we pray. In the name of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, here's my challenge to you. Becky's going to play. My challenge to you, we don't always have a come forward, but just with the
sheer number, I think it's appropriate in this situation. If God's dealt with you about something, there's something specific, there's something big, there's something that God has pointed out to you, and you say, you know, I've prayed about it, and I've prayed about it, and I've prayed about it, and I've prayed about it, but it just hasn't happened. I've struggled. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to gather together up here and pray about that need and put it upon the Lord once again. Say, Lord, work in this situation. Work in this family situation. Work in this different need. As Becky plays, here's what I want us to do. I want us to come forward. I want us to seek God. If God dealt with you about something, deal with it together today. Dear Heavenly Father, we are gathering together today, Lord, these ones that have come forward, some no doubt that are praying in their seats, Lord, gathering together today, once again casting our burdens upon you. Lord, burdens for family, burdens for friends, burdens for struggles, for sin struggles, Lord, burdens for concerns. Lord, we've no doubt asked these things before, but again, we are trusting and beseeching you to work. But Lord, perhaps in a different way today, asking you not with fear, not with a focus on ourselves, but a faith in your power, your ability, your care, your concern. Lord, trusting you to work in a way that we could never. Lord, I pray that, Lord, in these areas that we have cast before you today, that, Lord, you would work. Lord, it may not be the way we want, and we understand that. You are all-knowing. You are wise. Lord, we can only see but a drop in the bucket. Lord, you see the end from the beginning. We understand that. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would work to your will, to your plan, in these areas and these burdens. Strengthen us, we pray. Lord, I pray that the end would be better than the beginning. I pray that you would provide joy, peace, comfort, encouragement, Lord, in the midst of whatever our trial is. Strengthen us in these things. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated real quick. If Chardet can come up. Where's Chardet? There you are. Come on up. Chardet, I forgot to write down your last name. What's your last name?
Oliver.